Now, I don't know whether you're a monarchist, a royalist, or a republican, or you haven't really got any views on the monarchy and about the Queen. Whatever your stance, I'm sure you'll agree that the Queen stood up for her faith. We've seen recently, since her death, many things said about her life. Some we've heard many times before, some perhaps for the first time. There are two things that the Queen said or wrote that really struck me. I'm going to mention one now and another one right at the end. The first one, I don't know how I missed this in June, but it was shown a number of times in the aftermath of her death and sort of leading up to the funeral. And it was the Queen's Platinum Jubilee letter. I'm not going to read it all, but this is some of what it says. Tomorrow, 6th of February, marks the 70th anniversary of my accession in 1952. It is a day that, even after 70 years, I still remember as much for the death of my father, King George VI, as for the start of my reign. As we mark this anniversary, it gives me pleasure to renew to you the pledge I gave in 1947 that my life will always be devoted to your service. And this is the pledge from 1947. I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. But I shall not have strength to carry out this resolution alone unless you join it with me, as I now invite you to do. I know that your support will be unfailingly given. God help me to make good my vow, and God bless all of you who are willing to share it. That was her 21st birthday radio address that she referred to in that letter. The last paragraph of the Jubilee letter is this: "And so, as I look forward to continuing to serve you with all my heart, I hope this Jubilee will bring together families and friends, neighbours and communities, after some difficult times for so many of us, in order to enjoy the celebrations and to reflect on the positive developments in our day-to-day lives that have so happily coincided with my reign." And this is the thing that really struck me. Does anybody know how she signed that letter? Elizabeth R. But before that, two words: "Your servant." That really, really struck me. The richest woman in the world, a queen. She was, as they say, where I come from, who was born with a silver spoon in her gob. You know the phrase, doesn't need a thing. Everything she wants from the day she was born. Head of state, who you perhaps expect to be lording it over everyone else because of the high office she held. She could have demanded this and that of others, expect others to be at her beck and call, demand respect. But she chose to do the opposite. She chose to serve the people of her entire realm. And she did so right up to her death. Those amazing pictures you saw on the TV of welcoming her 15th Prime Minister. Much has been said about the Queen's Christian faith, mostly by Her Majesty herself, particularly in Christmas broadcasts. I don't know whether you've noticed, but as the country's been going further and further away from Christian things, the Queen's Christmas messages becoming more and more gospel-oriented, which was interesting. So she chose to serve rather than be served. Well, knowing her faith, she had the perfect example to follow. Familiar story. If you've got your Bibles, either analog or digital, you want to look at John chapter 13. and we'll start at verse 1. Nice to hear lots of rustling instead of swiping. John 13 and verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who's had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." What a great example for the Queen to follow, and what a great example for us. Here we see Jesus taking on the role of a servant, doing the job nobody else wanted to do, which was washing dirty, dusty, and smelly feet. It was a job normally done by servants, but Jesus set the example for his disciples. It's their master and teacher. He could have told one of the other disciples to go and do it, but he didn't. He took on that role himself. He made at least Peter feel guilty until he explained the significance of what he was doing. They were to serve others, not lord it over others. But this wasn't the only time Jesus served others. We think about it, his whole life was spent serving others. Think about the many thousands of people he fed, the people he healed, raised from the dead. Each time it was an act of service. Jesus, God incarnate, serving others. What an example to follow. Very different to many of the leaders we see in our own country and around the world, working their way up to the top, trampling on others to get there, even if it's only at sort of local council level. Can you imagine the leader of North Korea wanting to serve other people? How many times, though, do we hear about leaders in all walks of life demanding respect from others, expecting others to bow and scrape to them, ignoring advice, forcing others to do as they say, empty promises of, "I'll fight for you, you vote for me." Then when they get in power, who are you? It's all about what they can get for themselves. Nice houses, cars, holidays, free tickets for all the big events, being guests of honor at gatherings and so on. What did Jesus say? Wash one another's feet. Serve one another. I'm glad the Queen followed Jesus' example. She had all the riches many aspired to. She lived in palaces and castles and many household staff to bring her meals, do the cleaning, gardening, and so on. But she still chose to devote her time to serving Christ and the nation, serving you and me, not the other way around. So that got me thinking, who are you going to serve? Bob Dylan famously sang a song called Gotta Serve Somebody. Anybody remember that one? Gary does. Mike does, yeah. I'm not going to sing it, don't worry. I'll just read out some of the verses. I'm not going to sing it because you'll realise when we're singing, I turned the mic off and stood over there. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a construction worker working on a home. You may be living in a mansion or you might live in a dome. You might own guns and you might even own tanks. You might be somebody's landlord. You might even own banks. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barbershop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord. There's plenty of other verses and choruses to that song, but that gives you a flavour, if you've not heard it, of what the song was about. You know, Bob Dylan was right. Ultimately, you and I will serve one of the two, the devil or the Lord. Even the agnostic and the atheist are serving someone. Maybe they just don't realise it. I'm sure if you went out there and asked the man or woman on the street who they served, what answers do you think they might give? They might say, me, my family, the boss, whatever. How many would say, I'm serving the Lord? And I bet you very few would admit to serving the devil. And if you put that to them, they would say, well, I'm not evil. I do good. Don't worship evil things. I'm not like that. Yet if you're not serving the Lord, who are you serving? One day, there's going to be a lot of people in for a rude awakening on that day of judgment when we stand before him. Many will come and say, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And they'll be cast into eternal torment. It's what Michael was speaking about so eloquently last week. Mentioned the people of Israel earlier. And they had a choice at one point that is recorded in Joshua about who they were going to serve. Joshua 24, verses 14 to 16. They've effectively come out of Egypt, wandered in the desert for 40 years, and they have conquered the land. And this is Joshua's farewell to the people of Israel. Verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Joshua gave them a choice. He didn't say, serve God, all the gods of the country you've just come from. He said, you can choose between the gods of the other countries, but me, I'm going to serve the Lord. And they renewed the covenant. They had made a covenant there, and they vowed to serve the Lord. But if you read from the end of Joshua onwards, they didn't keep that promise very long. Who will you serve? Jesus said a few things about being a servant. Having demonstrated it, he also said things about serving one another. And perhaps the most famous one that perhaps we're all familiar with is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Comes at the end of the little passage on treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. It's what Dylan was singing about. You can't have a foot in both camps. You can't say you serve God, then spend all your time chasing money, fame, power, whatever. Because what you're really doing is serving the devil. Now, that's not to say that money is wrong. Don't take this the wrong way. We all need money to live. But if chasing after money is your main aim in life, getting that bigger house, better car, whatever, if that is your goal in life, then you're going to end up a long, long way from God. Interesting, I had a little WhatsApp chat with Thomas talking about salaries and jobs, with him having just started a job. And he could have taken a job paying more money, but he didn't. And I was quite impressed with that. But we had a little WhatsApp conversation where I was able to share another verse from Timothy around money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And look at how many of the world's rich and famous, you know, the mega rich people, the superstars, how many of them have broken relationships, depend on drugs and alcohol to get them through the day? Despite the image presented to the world, they're actually deeply, deeply unhappy. We see all the acrimonious court cases, falls from grace. Don't be like that. Don't aspire to be like that. There's something else Jesus said about serving God, which is in stark contrast to that. That's John chapter 12. So not long before he washed the feet of the disciples. John chapter 12 and verse 20. And I've got the wrong verse. I've managed to do a typo. Sorry? Yeah, thank you. It wasn't verse 20. So, but yeah, it's all right. I'm just looking at the few verses before it. Yeah, it's my typo there. It wasn't meant to be 20 to 26. It was meant to be 25 to 26. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." Isn't that amazing? That last one, "Whoever serves me must follow me." In other words, you can't serve both God and money. Where I am, my servant also will be. Well, isn't being with Jesus the best place to be? The only place to be? Are you with Jesus, following him, or somewhere else? But it's this next bit that I've not really noticed before. It's amazing. "My Father will honor the one who serves me." Think about that. That's just absolutely amazing. Every time you do a service for God, God honors you. Those who choose to serve Jesus are honored by God. Now, many crave to be honored by men, to be in the high places, receive the adulation and praise of their fellow man. What would you prefer? Praise from man or being honored by God? I know what I want.
That reminds me of Job. "Have you considered my servant Job?"
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so big things to think about here from just a few words. God honors you when you serve him. That is just brilliant. That's just fantastic to think about. So how do we serve Jesus? Good question. And I'm hoping I haven't made a typo on this next one. It's Galatians 5, verses 13 to 15. Galatians 5, verses 13 to 15. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Serve one another in love. Love your neighbors. A call to love and serve each other within the church and also those outside the church. What does that mean in practice? Danny Baker, I don't know whether you remember him, radio presenter who used to present on BBC various programs. I used to listen when I was travelling up to football matches on a Saturday morning. He had a Saturday morning show, and it was really zany, really crazy, silly stuff that was taking place in there. And he'd get people to phone in or email in with silly stories about things they'd done or things that had gone wrong or whatever. And one of them was he wanted people to send in examples of what you used to see but don't really see anymore, on food packaging. Serving suggestions. Remember seeing those? Serving suggestions. The worst examples. And the one that kind of won, somebody said, "I have a tin of tuna." The serving suggestion is they have taken the lid off the tin of tuna, turned it upside down on a plate, and lifted it off. And that was the serving suggestion. Do you remember all of those? Yeah. And sometimes there'll be some really good ones. There might be some lettuce around the tuna by another brand. Tomatoes, whatever, yeah. But there were all sorts of different ways you could serve what was in the tin or in the packet. And that's how it is with us. There are many ways we can serve each other. All sorts of serving suggestions. I have a few here. There are many others. Helping to cook church breakfast. Mick's got a great team. They're brilliant at serving us by cooking breakfast. Clearing up the tables afterwards. Welcoming people at the door. Noah's Ark, those who run Noah's Ark, they're serving God. Decorating the church, doing the garden, church garden. We used to dig other people's gardens. What do we call ourselves, Mike? We had those little yellow jackets on. Westview serve team. There are all sorts of ways we can serve one another. Taking the gospel to those outside the church is serving the Lord. There are so many different ways. And you know, we've got a meeting next week. The next step forwards, church workshop. There might be ideas that come out of there that God leads us into, where there'll be areas of service that we've not done before, or maybe not done for a long time. And maybe you think, I can't do that. But maybe you can. We already do so much for one another. Let's continue to do that. And a word of encouragement. For those of you who remember Ed McGurr, he came a few times to speak at his kids on holiday. I think the last time he came, his daughter Rachel left a jumper here. There's usually a bit of lost property, isn't there, at the end of a holiday week. And because at that point in time he was living in Lower Gornal, which is my neck of the woods, I went up for a weekend and I went to his church and had lunch with him afterwards, gave Rachel a jumper back. And I got talking there with Ed. And Ed was really impressed with us as a church, particularly when it came to the holiday week. He said, because every single person in the church is involved in some way. Even those who couldn't be involved physically because perhaps they had to work or just not able to do stuff like that, they were praying, serving the Lord. He said there were no passengers. So an encouragement to you, all of you. Let's keep on doing what Ed McGurr saw. And let's take those new opportunities to serve God, whatever they may be. But there's a little interesting bit at the end of what I just read in Galatians, isn't it? Serve one another in love. Love your neighbor as yourself. But don't bite and devour each other, or you will be destroyed by each other. Shouldn't be room for that in any church. Leads to destruction, not only of individuals, but perhaps the whole church. That saying is, if you hold a grudge against someone, how can you serve them in love? You may be able to do something physically for them, but if you're not doing it in love, what's the value in that? Be reconciled with them. Even if you're the injured party, make the first move. Apologize, forgive, be restored. Because if you don't, then in the end, you won't be serving Christ. You'll be serving your own agenda. And you'll end up being eaten up yourself. And that has an impact on everybody else. So some thoughts there, prompted by me seeing that letter from the Queen, signing your servant. I said I had another point about something the Queen said that really, really struck me. And it's very much related to the first point. And this is how I saw it. I don't know who was saying this. I haven't got that information, but this is what they said. Only today I heard of a conversation she held with an acquaintance in which she is said to have stated, I wish Jesus would come back in my lifetime. Asked why, she reportedly replied, because I would place my crown at his feet. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Shall we pray? Lord, we often sing about the servant king, and we thank you that that is who you are. You came to serve. You came to serve others by dying on the cross, that we might be forgiven of our sins and enter into eternal life with you. Lord, we've seen your example where you washed the disciples' feet. And Lord, we pray that you would make us like that, serving one another, even doing the jobs that nobody else really wants to do. And we thank you, Father, that when we do that, you have said you will honor us. We thank you and praise you that you love us enough to honor us for when we serve you. Father, give us servant hearts as we move forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.